Welcome to the Akashic Reading Podcast, presented by AkashicReading.com, the place where you can learn to access your soul's wisdom, or at least stop digging the hole any deeper. I'm your host, Terry Uktana, and today we'll be going through the easy process of communicating directly and conversationally with spirit guides by inviting them into your Akashic Room. One of the most common requests I receive is to help a student or client communicate more clearly with their guides. In general, people don't recognize the communication and support they get from their guides because it isn't dramatic like a book pushed off a shelf right in front of their feet or a voice talking in their ear. It comes in the form of intuition, dreams, synchronicities, and coincidence. Some people have found means of consciously connecting with their guides, but the communication can be limited. They use pendulums or dowsing to ask yes-no questions. Find answers to the questions they pose in street signs, songs on the radio, or passages in books they're reading, or are surprised by a message from a friend which is obviously a direct response to their spiritual request. I call this grouping of communication methods charades because it has much the same quality of guesswork. You pose the question, get an answer or a part of an answer, and then have to puzzle out what the full meaning is. There are more direct means of communicating with guides, but developing and using them can be problematic. Some people have a natural aptitude for clairaudience and so can hear their guides and other beings in real time as they go about their lives. Not everyone has this ability, and those who do can't always control it. It can get stuck on, meaning they hear everything all the time, or it can be what is thought as a wild talent, only working when it wants to and often when less than convenient. Some people have the ability to see guides and communicate with them in real time, which suffers from the same issues as clairaudience. Automatic writing can be a bit easier, but requires the person to focus, meaning they can't do anything else in the moment. You know, don't automatic write and drive. In the end, if we're interested in communicating consciously with the beings who support us in this embodied life, we will find a means which works for us and for them. For those just starting to look for a means of communicating with their guides, or for my students and clients who are frustrated with the methods they're using, I recommend they invite their guides to a conversation in their Akashic Room. Each of us, during embodied life, has an Akashic Room. This is a room set aside specifically for us. No one may enter it without our permission. It reflects the life we're leading in each moment and supports us in engaging more fully, not only in the practicalities of living, but of incorporating our spiritual path and the true nature of our soul into those practicalities. It's a place where we can investigate current problems, learn about the reason why we embodied, what is possible for us in this lifetime, conceive of and work through manifesting things into being, and so much more. Most Akashic rooms are somewhat open floor plan, but divided by furniture into functional areas. Some have beds, dining tables, conference room workshop corners, and most have seating areas for two or more people. These can look like little seating groups similar to coffee shops or full-on living rooms. Many have chairs facing fireplaces. These are great areas to begin exploring communication with Akashic beings. Inviting a being to your Akashic room is incredibly simple. All of my students do this automatically with each week's lesson. The guided meditation tells them an animal guide will greet them, and just hearing this intention sends the energetic invitation so the guide is there when the person arrives. It's not necessary to know the name of the spirit guide you wish to work with, but it is good to specify the type or area of responsibility they have in relationship to you. In the case of class meditations, the invitation to the student's animal guide allows an animal to choose to work with them if one is not already doing so, or an entire group to do so on a rotating basis, and so forth. For example, setting the intention to invite any of your personal guides who is interested or willing to work with you in this way means those beings who work with you specifically can choose singly or en masse to come meet you as it works best for them and for you. I don't recommend inviting just any being who wishes to work with you to your room. This is a bit like the difference between sending a party invitation to Mr. and Mrs. Smith versus sending it to occupant. Either the Mr. or the Mrs. could answer the invitation, and either would be welcome and appropriate, but occupant is an open invitation to absolutely anyone, which often isn't helpful and can be a waste of time. Conversations with spirit guides or any beings in the Akashic follow social rules similar to those we use here in embodied life. When you invite someone into your home, they are your guest and you are the host. Conventions vary, but in general, a host is expected to provide hospitality, set the tone for the visit, and lead the conversation, at least initially. In the Akashic, this means guides will wait patiently until they are spoken to. They won't burst in with a message or reams of information to impart. If asked, "What do I need to know?" they often remain mute because there really isn't anything the person needs to know, and the room's person invited them, not the other way around. Most conversations in embodied life start with a greeting. If we know the person, this is just an acknowledgement, whether a nod, a handshake, or a hug. If we don't, then introductions need to happen. Because we are encased in bodies, and most of us are neither telepathic nor truly emotionally fluent as empaths, we're relegated to using names, a series of sounds and symbols expressed in a linear manner as a means of expressing who we are. In the Akashics, no such formula is necessary. Without encasement, a being expresses who they are by fully being what they are. This makes for interesting and sometimes confusing interactions between spirit guides and embodied beings as expectations and communication styles clash. What I suggest for my students, rather than ask the name of the being they're meeting, is they ask how the being is related to them. While this can seem awkward, it can be helpful to remember we do this all the time within our families. Mom and Dad are the most common forms of this relationship style naming, but we sometimes do a more nuanced version with grandparents, signifying one grandmother as Nona and the other as Gammy, and so on. A guide will always acknowledge who they are in relation to their person, will present a personal or visual representation of some kind, and may offer a nickname or even a name they've used in their own past embodiments. All of this combines into what we think of as a name. Another social rule used both here and in the Akashics is reciprocity. Have you ever noticed that if someone whispers, other people start whispering as well, even while they're looking around to figure out why everyone is whispering? Or how one person in a crowd talking loud leads to louder and louder conversations until everyone is shouting? Guides and most all beings in the Akashics will follow the lead of the host in a conversation. So if you're communicating only in thoughts or through images or gestures, then this is what they'll do as well. If you're loudly projecting, you expect everything in the Akashics to be like a dream or symbolic, then this is how they'll present information to you. What's important to note here is guides can speak just as well, if not better, than we can. They can speak in any language we're most comfortable with or which suits the conversation best. So they're more than able and often willing to hold an actual spoken conversation which is unambiguous and full of knowledge on any subject. This can be invaluable when discussing deep personal, emotional, or spiritual subjects. Once introductions have been made and each of you is seated, you can start asking questions. Some guides might already know what you're interested in talking over because you have burning questions you've been trying to get answers to for a long time. Or the strength of your emotions around the subject are so strong they are practically radiating from you like a shout. Others will wait for you to formally ask the questions you have out loud in language. While all Akashic beings are able to hear your thoughts and feel your feelings, it's considered incredibly rude to act on these things without your permission, especially in your own Akashic room. Like with all conversations, once you get started, things usually fall into a rhythm of their own with topics moving back and forth between you and the guide. It can be helpful to remember that in the Akashics, visual forms are part of the communication process. A guide could therefore change clothes, sex, age, or into some other form entirely in order to make a particular point, and then shift back from one sentence to the next. And I'm not gonna lie, this can be disconcerting at first. If it causes confusion or distracts from the conversation, stop and ask the guide to express what they mean in language. Over time, and usually rather quickly, this type of shifting will become as easily understandable as shifts and symbols in dream time. Akashic conversations, like any other, can end in a variety of ways. More often than you may think, they end because the embodied person simply can't hold the energy or their attention for any length of time. While we think of Akashic meditation as a primarily mental exercise which supports our spiritual path and practice, it uses physical energy, requires just as much, if not more, mental processing and attention as conversation with an embodied human, and can be emotionally draining. So one moment you'll be in the conversation, and the next you'll be back in your body or even fall asleep. The resolution for this is patience. Repetition and experience builds the Akashic muscles, as it were. Meanwhile, our guides are used to and even expect us to simply drop out of conversations at first, and so are patient. A conversation can end naturally when we've received information which is weighty or which we need to spend time processing. They can also end because we've received the answer we're looking for or we've taken in all the information we can for the moment. In any of these cases, the ending of a visit is similar to one here in embodied life. The guide should be thanked for their time and attention. Any assurances of continued relationship should be offered if they're honest, like hugging, handshakes, namaste, and so on, and they will then take their leave. The type of conversation I've described here also works with other Akashic beings. Those who work with angels, are dedicated to particular spirits or gods, or who wish to connect with a specific spiritual being can invite them to their Akashic room. In these situations, the relationship will likely be different than a spirit guide, and there may be some specific behaviors which the being prefers concerning introductions and ending a conversation, but the form and means of communication will be the same. So, to foster clear, full communication with a spirit guide or other Akashic being, you can invite them to your Akashic room. To do so, I suggest you follow these general steps. When entering your Akashic room, do so with the intention to communicate with a specific being as designated by their relationship to you. This provides the invitation and also access to your Akashic room while you're there. When they arrive, greet the being and initiate introductions by asking their relationship to you. Sit with them or guide them to an appropriate conversation area of your room. Then communicate with them in spoken language and ask that they respond in kind. Have questions to ask and don't hesitate to ask follow-up questions if you don't understand the answer. Also ask for clarification if a form shift happens during their response which you don't understand or which complicates and confuses the answer, or if something else comes up that is confusing. Once done, end the conversation by thanking them for their time and support, and allow the being to leave before leaving your Akashic room, if possible, falling asleep and dropping out of the meditation notwithstanding. For those who have taken my classes, the process of getting to your Akashic room is the same as you use in each lesson. However, if you're using the class audios to do so, it can be confusing or difficult because they're structured to send an invitation for your animal guide, which you would then need to amend. For this reason, and for those who haven't taken my classes, I've provided a guided meditation on my website called Meeting Your Guide Meditation. I'll post a link to this in the episode description. And that's all the time we have this week. If you're interested in knowing more, check out my website, akashicreading.com. Thank you to my patron of honor this week, Jennifer Keene. If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider supporting it by subscribing on Patreon. For just $5 a month, you can join in patron-only classes, get information on my current workshops, see all my other offerings, and get regular updates about what I'm working on at patreon.com/TerryUchtena. Thanks. Bye.